Dave Moore
on Today FM.
Sitting across from me is Carol Gleason, who is a writer and an actor. She's here to talk about a show that she's in. And also sitting across from me is Paul Mescal Sr. Hello, Paul.
How are you getting on, Dave?
Good to see you again. Last time I met you was at the premiere of Gladiator. We met down in Smithfield.
That's right.
You won't remember because you met 1,000 people that night.
I did, and I'm very bad at remembering
But I do
remember you now.
You do now. Now that I say it, yeah. And Carol, thanks a million for coming in.
Oh, thank you so much for having us, Dave.
So you guys are in to talk about something that sounds absolutely brilliant. Lads, listen to the kinds of tunes that Paul and Carol are putting together in Are You Dancing?
1, 2, 3 o'clock, 4 o'clock, rock. 5, 6, 7 o'clock, 8 o'clock, rock. 9, 10, 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, rock. We're gonna rock around the clock tonight.
Go, Jack, and don't you come back no more, no more, no more, no more.
Go, hey, and do the huckle buck, hey, do the huckle buck, hey. If you don't know how to do it, then you're out of luck. Hey, shove your baby.
Listen, it's wall to wall bangers in a show called Are You Dancing? Carol, tell us about this. What is the story? This show has been running for, is it 8 years now?
Indeed, yeah. So 8 years. We had a bit of a hiatus, of course, during COVID also. Yeah. But it started off as a smaller project in our hometown of Naas in County Kildare back in 2018 when myself and my co-writer Helen Spring put the show together. And then after that, we toured a bit regionally, stopped for a few years for COVID, had a baby or two, and then came back to the national stage in 2024 in the Olympia Theatre.
Wow.
And now we're back in the Gaiety Theatre
from the 9th to the 13th of June. The 9th and 13th of June,
for sure. So it's been some journey, Dave.
I'd
and
say
to see
it has.
The show grow the way it has been amazing. And to have been so well received everywhere it went as well.
Well, the fact that it's gone from, you see, something small and local to the Three Olympia and now the Gaiety, I mean, that means it's definitely growing and growing in popularity.
Sure.
Paul, when did you get involved in this then?
Well, out of the blue one morning, I'm retired retired from the profession as teaching there. And in my last couple of months, the phone rang one Friday morning at 11 o'clock break. And it was this lady here beside me who I had never met.
Right.
And she said, Paul, we're doing this play. You know, we think you might be suitable for it. And I said, okay, who are you? What are you? Tell me about the part. So she said, well, first of all, he's a very cantankerous, unkind, nasty, belligerent, misogynistic individual.
So you might be perfect.
When would you like me to start? You had me at belligerent.
So that's how it started.
Choice. So I went into the show. I came down for a read the following day. The whole cast was there, who had done this before many times.
Right.
And I loved it. And here we are talking to you, Dave.
Okay, that's an amazing journey. But you must have been on Carol's mind because you've obviously taken to the stage. Like you've been acting in bits for years, right?
I've been on and off the stage since I was 12. The first time I got onto the stage, I never wanted to get off of it. So I technically have been on it, even though I've had, you know,
lots of other bits to do.
But I think once it hits you, once it grabs you, it's difficult to get it away from you.
I hear you. No, absolutely. I did the same. I found it in school and then became a musician and a singer and whatever and a producer.
I like to say the way you said you found it.
I found it, or it found me. Yeah. And then here I am now doing something, you know, that isn't on stage. But I mean, it's all tied in together. But once you kind of get into it at all, I think it is a bug.
You can't
get never leaves you. It's
even
so
though you could go dormant for a while.
True.
Which I have done.
But
then something like this came along. What a way to wake up.
But isn't that the world of an actor in general, though? I mean, I speak to so many of them all the time, Paul, your son included, but I speak to lots of them and they all talk, even people like Robert De Niro and Harrison Ford, who are at the other end of their careers, have spoken about there's always the desire to get the next job. No matter how successful you've been, you still go and audition. You know, even if you're Robert De Niro, you have to go and read for the part and find out. So I think there's a hunger among actors and performers to just constantly be finding the next adventure, next step in the adventure.
Absolutely.
You know what I mean?
And they say you're only as good as your last gig as well. So there's that constant pressure, I suppose, as well, to at least match what you've done previously,
if
not surpass it.
And then there's the complete madness of it. Because when you go on stage, as you know, there's no place to hide and it's absolutely frightening.
Yeah.
You know, and then you wonder, why am I actually doing this?
But then you get the feedback from the audience.
The feedback, the applause,
and you can't beat that. And I think nowadays, more than ever, when screens are such a huge part of our lives, I think live theatre, there's nothing like going to a live show, sitting there with 1,000 people and all experiencing the same roller coaster of emotions together. There's something so magical and special about
that. You're right. Any live event, like, even live radio like this, like the fact that everyone, like, you can listen to this back as a podcast if you want, but to experience it at the time in a live scenario,
totally
know
that
people all around the country, around the world, are also connected at the same time, feeling the same things, I think is brilliant. But let's talk about the show. So what is the story of the show, Carol? You wrote this. So who are we? This is show band territory, am I right?
Yeah, back in 1960s, the vibrant show band.
You're so young. Why is the 60s show band scenario of such interest to you and your co-writers?
Yeah, well, look, we grew up listening stories from our grandparents of these golden show band days, and they really were glorious. So we went back through the history books, and the show band era just stood out to us as such a vibrant part of our history, and also a time offering so many elements like cultural, social, fun, and the serious
and
elements
the music,
as well.
Yeah,
and the
too.
Music,
yeah,
that music is palpable. Even when you were playing that, myself and Paul were here bopping away. It's infectious. But the story follows a shy young man by the name of Tommy O'Neill who finds himself unwittingly at the helm of an up-and-coming show band. So as his star rises, we see him struggle both on and off the stage. And it's all set in 1960s Donegal.
Wow.
But when we were speaking to people, like for our research, it was just such a fantastic experience because we didn't have to pull information from anybody. Anyone we said to them, you know, we're writing a play about the show bands. Oh, here, stick the kettle on. I have a few stories for you. Suddenly it's 3 hours later and, you know,
yeah, you're making notes furiously.
Yeah, for sure. And it was wonderful to see people's faces light up like that.
When they tell those stories. And now, with the greatest of respect, Paul Mescal, I would imagine you're not cast as young, hip, up-and-coming Tommy Fleming.
Tommy O'Neill.
Tommy O'Neill, sorry. There's a Freudian slip this week of all weeks. Tommy O'Neill is who I meant.
Tommy O'Neill can sing, he can dance, he can act, he's good looking. Hey, Sean, well done. No, I'm at the other end of that spectrum. As we said, we talked about Shamey there, that's the character.
So Shamey is who you are. Shamey, you're cantankerous. What's your job in this?
My job is that the whole thing takes, most of it takes place in the pub, which is his pub, but he's a bit of a John Cleese character. He has a hotel, but he doesn't want anyone to go there. So he's a little bit like that.
Rumpy John Cleese.
But then as the show unfolds, then we find that as the plot unfolds itself, that he's cranky, and he's cranky for a reason.
Okay.
And then that kind of it's not the main plot, but
it informs.
It's all in there someplace. And we find what the problem is, why he's a cranky individual.
Excellent.
So that's it. So it's nice. It's nice the way he weaves through.
So the show is coming to the Gaiety from the 9th to the 13th of June.
Yes.
So that's a lot of nights to fill that place, and also a lot of times for you to step out on stage and do that. Because, Carol, you didn't just write this, you're also in this.
Yes, myself and Helen play the two leading girls, Mary and Sarah. So, it's a huge undertaking, and we produce it, obviously, as well. So it has been a massive labour of love, but it completely takes over our lives for the couple of months.
They make the tea at the interval, they collect the tickets,
sell the merchandise.
Not quite. We're just shy of that, Paul.
Paul, we were just talking there during Gracie Evans. Did you win an award in Venezuela the other day? Come on, tell everyone about this.
Yeah,
Carol's telling me things, I'm telling the world.
So, no, that was very funny. Another thing, since I retired, I've been able to take part in things like short films.
Right.
So this particular short film we shot last year, it was a thing called Tin Tabernacle. And a very good friend, who's now a friend, called Sean Walsh, who has emigrated to Canada. Why is it always the good ones? But anyway, he's gone and he made this movie and it got nominated for a film festival in Venezuela.
I see.
We didn't go to Caracas because the budget didn't stretch that far. But
yeah, short films budgets tend not to get you to Caracas as often as possible.
Low budget.
Well, speaking of the opposite, big budget, obviously, look, I can't have you in here and ask a couple of questions about young Paul. Look, he's someone that I've spent a lot of time with. Yeah. We were lucky enough to spend a good couple of hours with him in Crowe Park ahead of the Gladiator premiere.
That was the hurling thing, wasn't it?
But he's so generous, though, in fairness. He is with his time.
He does love hurling.
He does love hurling. There's no doubt about it. But tell me this. Like, things like, for example, the budget of a short film getting sent to the film festival in Venezuela. He's obviously operating at such a different level. Like, has it been odd as a family to kind of adjust to the level of at which he's operating?
Yeah. We were from our perspective, as normal people.
Fun. Yeah.
You know, we went from standing to just the next thing you're on Hollywood. Yeah. You know, for us, just to be, because we were there as his parents.
Yeah.
If he was graduating from something or other, we'd be at the graduation ceremony.
Yeah.
You know, but we went from there to Hollywood straight up. It was quite a jump.
I'd say so. And because he often tells me stories when I'm interviewing him about yourself and your good lady, perhaps, you know, being besotted by celebrities and all. Who's the person that you've been most excited to see across a room or walk up and have a handshake or get a photo with?
I got this close to Steven Spielberg once.
You did?
Yeah, I did. No, he was just standing there and I was standing beside him. But,
it was amazing.
You know, there's a share thing, you know, that when I was allegedly dancing.
No, you're not allegedly. Paul definitely told me you were dancing with Cher.
Yeah, it was technically we were on the dance floor. There was music happening. We were moving. I bumped off of her. So technically, I think that qualifies as a dance.
It was definitely her.
Well, one of the things that a lot of us are very excited, and we hear conversations like this every now and again.
And talk about maybe the song with Ringo.
It's such a, when it plays, just the
feeling of when you hear you both together. Once that song starts playing, I start smiling.
So we did. I kind of wrote a song up that I thought would be good for Ringo.
Uh-huh.
I did a guide vocal on it, sent it over to Ringo, and I said, "Would you sing on it?" And it's called "Home to Us."
Home to Us, the new Paul McCartney Ringo song. So my question, I guess, is do you occasionally like have a chat to Paul and he goes, "Listen, I have to go, Dad. I'm going to hang out with Paul." And you know who he's talking about. Does that happen?
I did see one thing where you know, he had sent us a picture of him and Paul McCartney. I mean, the iconic piano. And I'm, you know, can I use a better word than iconic?
No.
Because this is where it actually, the word iconic is real. And to see Paul talking and engage with Paul McCartney, of one of the most iconic bands in the world has ever known. I mean, I can't say any more. I mean,
fair.
What do you think, Dave?
It is mind blowing. And I mean, himself and Barry, the fact that both of those guys have been
so
chosen
to play
these roles. Yeah. It is. It is. Look, the Irish acting, I've said this to a number of people over the last like couple of years, but Irish acting is in such rude health. Like, we have so many people operating on so many different levels. Like, we're talking about here today and Are You Dancing? Like, shows that are starting small are getting to the stage in the Gaiety.
That's the thing, Dave. The standard of talent from our performers. We have 30 performers on stage, including a live 7-piece show band who would put it up to any bigger internationally famous band
out
there.
Plays three of the instruments as well.
I do not. Don't land me in that. I have enough going on. But it is, the standard of talent is exceptional in this country. And it's an honour to be able to bring some of that Irish talent to a stage like the Gaiety as well.
We look forward to it. The Gaiety Theatre in Dublin, Are You Dancing? It's going to run from the 9th to the 13th of June. Get your tickets. Do not be disappointed. If you love your Hucklebuck and the rest of those tunes, you're going to absolutely love this. Paul and Carol, thank you guys so much for coming in. Appreciate the journey. It was difficult on a really hot, sunny day. So we thank you for making it in.
Thanks so much.
We look forward to the show.
Thank you, Dave.
Thanks a million.
Dave Moore on Today FM.